If you have any questions or comments to this podcast, send them to spirals@unicornvoice.com and check out unicornvoice.com for more information about trauma.
It's been 2 years. It's been longer than that.
How old was I when we did this? 14?
15. You were turning 15. I don't remember.
I don't know. It was something. Well, I'm 17 now.
And I'm 49.
So the big...
I'm going to be 50 in...
15?
What? Did I say 15? I'm like 50 in just a few weeks.
Wow. You excited?
Yeah.
Big milestone, huh?
Yeah, I'm lucky to be alive.
I'm turning 18 this year. Yeah. I got a few months, so I'm good for now.
What, are you scared?
Yeah.
But how's it been? Like, why did we stop doing the last... Why did we only do one episode? I don't remember what happened. It was just too much that happened, I guess. And we just...
I think it was just the time limit. So, like, when we thought about it, it became a stressful thing.
Yeah.
So instead of being like, oh yeah, that was kind of fun, you know, it was like, oh god, no, that took forever and had to go to bed later than we wanted to, you know. We were both exhausted afterwards.
Do you remember that you said to me, we went on that trip with the ship, and you said, when we were on the ship, you said that you didn't want to do it again, and I think you said you wanted to take it down, and you changed your mind. I know it's a long time ago now, but do you remember?
I think there was something in there that I wanted to take down, just, you know, if you think about things you've said in the past, your, like, life, I guess, and then you hear it again, you're like, I said that? That's really embarrassing. I'm a teenager, you know, everything's embarrassing. But, I don't know. It's hard to say, because... We just listened to it not long ago, and it was pretty good. I liked how, controlling is the wrong word, but, like, I liked how into it I was, you know. I was very, like, I had a lot of opinions, and it was nice. It was nice to hear, you know, because now, you know, there are different opinions, and, you know, it's the environment you're around that, you know, everything's changed, I guess.
So what's changed?
I think I used to be really harsh with the whole, like, gender and pronouns and all that kind of stuff, because it was the environment I was in became part of me, and then, you know, we moved away, and then...
I guess you just changed a little bit, you know?
You meet new people, and you're like, oh, maybe, yeah, maybe this is also okay, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just part of growing up, isn't it? And that doesn't mean that everyone who changed their pronouns, it has nothing to do with, oh, they're going to grow out of it, but for you, that's how it was. And who knows how you're going to feel in 5 years?
Yeah, I think it was just that, like, I mean, of course, at the time, you don't really know that you're, like, I guess, under the influence or whatever. Because, I mean, under the influence, you know.
Yeah.
Influenced, I mean.
That sounds like you were drugged, but you weren't.
No, but influenced by other people, and I think... Especially growing up, you learn about, you know, teachers. They talk about what can affect the way someone grows up, you know, to be who they be. Your environment, the people who are around you, where you live, what language you speak, all that kind of stuff, you know.
I wanted to ask how it's been for you to move back.
It's been hard. Especially with the whole writing and reading and speaking Norwegian, It's been a lot of work that I have not been willing to do or wanting, you know. I've done a lot of it, but there's been a lot of work where, you know, all this, you know, sentences that sound childish, you know what I mean? I've worked harder on, you know, upping my vocabulary in English, and which is fine, you know, but I mean, like, now that I'm here and I have such a, you know, childish is... Maybe, I don't know if that's the right word, but a very...
Well, maybe simple?
Yeah, a very simple vocabulary, you know, especially when I write, it sounds like I'm speaking, you know what I mean? It sounds like speak right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, because you...
It's like you don't say it's very interesting, you just say it's interesting, you know what I mean? Like, that's just an example on what, you know, very is a, if you say veldig, which is very, it's a childish word, I guess. Or, you know, something like that.
Definitely words that you're not used to. How about emotionally? How has it been to move back?
I don't know. It's been weird. It's been a lot of, I think it's been a lot of growth because I've had a bit more time alone here. You know, I've learned things and...
What kind of things?
I don't know. I guess I've learned a lot about myself and the way that what I can handle and what I will take from people, I guess. And even if I don't really say it out loud, I'm like, why don't they want you to talk to me like that? You know, I've learned that what I can take and what I can't take. And
so you learn more about your boundaries.
Yeah, boundaries. And
you matured.
It's very interesting.
Remember you wrote a paper yesterday about individualism.
Oh, yeah.
And we are moving towards a world that can be more individual. I feel like, especially here in the Western world.
Yeah.
And science, you know, is backing up a lot of stuff. Like, we've been talking about, you know, how teenagers work, the body, all the stuff that this podcast will be about. Mm. And I will, if it's okay with you, bring you in every now and then to discuss certain things. Like, remember we talked about something called intergenerational trauma?
Yeah.
Where, do you remember anything about it?
Isn't it something like with that mouse thing?
Yeah, there was a test.
On a mouse.
And yeah, on several mice.
When they heard the sound, they get shocked, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah,
is
and then...
Is sad, though?
It's definitely sad. But these mice, they were shocked right after they heard a certain sound. And then I think this was at Mount Sinai. I think it was Rachel Yehuda who started this, but I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me on it, but I will have that information later. But they found out that even the mice in the second and third generation, and I think it was even the fourth generation, that never had been shocked, they just heard the sound, they would still kind of pull themselves, you know, or shake by the sound, because they thought they were going to get hurt, even though they'd never been hurt. It was only the first generation of mice that were actually shocked. And then they started research on Holocaust victims and veterans, war veterans. And they found out that, you know, their next of kin, their families, next of kin is a bad word, but their families, like their children, were affected. Mm. And then they started studying and finding out that this kind of trauma is stored in our DNA and our genes.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Jeez. It's like, so not only do you have all my crap in your system, now you have my dad's crap and my mom's crap and their grandparents and their parents and Jesus. Oh, and there's been a lot in this family.
Well, so be it, you know.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that we can't get better, of course, but what do you think about that? Does that scare you, or?
I mean, if I'm being totally honest, no. I don't,
Are you ever scared of getting, like, sick, like, mentally sick or mentally ill?
Well, yeah, of course, you know, I mean, I think about my hands all the time that, you know, mentally, but it's like, you know, arthritis. Yeah. You know, the arthritis that runs in our family. I'm scared about that kind of stuff. But I mean, of course, I think I'm scared about, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's, which is terrifying. But I mean, there's nothing you can really do right now. What can you do to stop it?
What do you think you can do?
I don't have no idea. It's that, you know, how are you going to stop yourself from losing memories, you know?
Yeah.
It's your
brain. I definitely don't have those answers.
Yeah, I mean, your brain controls you. That's how it is.
Well, that's what we're finding out, is that a lot of what's going on in our bodies is not just what we're experiencing through our genes and our DNA, but we can actually change these things. We can create new neural pathways. So there's a lot that can be done, but I don't think it's just like, you know, when you go to the gym, you can't expect that you're going to build muscle if you don't exercise. If you don't train to be more positive, to say good things to yourself. And your whole life you've heard horrible things, or someone has, you know, been picking at you your whole life. If you don't learn how to say good things to yourself, no matter how you do that, I don't think you can expect any changes.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it's really strange to hear all this at night.
Yeah.
Because it makes you, I think, you know, this whole thing about late night thoughts, it's a big thing, you know, if you think about death right before going to bed, it freaks you out, you know?
Yeah.
So warning for everyone listening to this, don't listen to this at night. Make sure you're listening to this in the day so you don't think about it.
Well, I think that it should be something positive, you know, that...
Of course. But I think it's an easy freak out for people.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially, is it an easy freak out for you?
Yeah, if I think about dying in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, it's not fun.
Yeah. And we do, and sometimes you and I have ended up talking about this kind of stuff at night.
It's also just a natural topic in a way.
Because you lay in bed and all of a sudden your thoughts wander, you know, you start thinking, oh my God, the universe is so big, what's going to happen?
Exactly. I think the biggest thought is just the universe is so big, that's the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, but it's interesting, and it, you know, you lay there and you're like, I'm lucky, you know. I mean, a lot of people don't think this, unfortunately, but, you know, lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
Out of all those who could have been born in your place, you were chosen.
Yeah.
And it's...
Do you think you were chosen?
Not chosen, but...
I mean, you could be, I don't know.
I mean, who knows if this is your theory of computer simulators or not, but it's the fact that...
This is just a fun story about simulation. That's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah. Some scientists.
That we're living in some kind of computer simulation.
I guess chosen is the wrong word. I guess it's where the sperm got to first, right?
Yeah.
The race, or whatever they call it.
The chosen ones.
So I guess in a way it was just, you know, the luck of you being the one to be... It's hard. You can't say chosen to be the one who was chosen. I guess you were just lucky to be there, you know, right place, right time.
Yeah.
But it's weird to think about. Because it's like, God, you know, wow.
Do you think about God?
No.
You never think about God?
I mean...
You don't believe in God?
I don't know. I don't know what I believe in. I don't think I do. I don't know what I believe in. I just believe in me. I believe in, if you don't have a set thing that your family's believed in and you get to choose for yourself. You know, some people go easily to Christianity. Some people become Muslim or Jew, you know. Like me, for example. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. When I think about life and death, honestly, all I think about is space.
Yeah.
I think about floating around, you know.
Yeah.
That comes a lot from you, because I hear your theories about everything, you know, like, oh, when we die, I think our souls, you know, they're out there floating around.
When you were little and you couldn't sleep and you were scared sometimes of death, I told you I don't know what's going to happen, but I said I have my own idea that we're going to be with all the people we love and going to do all the stuff that we love to do and just really enjoy ourselves. That was the only way I think I could help you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not an easy topic. But if we go back to the, you know, intergenerational trauma, do you think that these things, is this something you hear about anywhere? Is it school? Does anyone ever talk about, you know, stuff that's inherited? Do you have friends talking about their family's trauma? Is this not a thing?
I mean, trauma is very... In the groups that I hang out with, trauma comes up all the time. They talk about what's happened, and I mean, not to everyone in the group, to some people. You know, there's some people, stories I haven't heard, and others I have.
Because when I was little, nobody talked about their family and their problems.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a mature understanding, not even when I was in my youth. It was not till I was pretty grown up that I learned about these things. So I wonder if it's different today. Do kids today talk about their families? Do they share history of their personal experiences, or is that not so normal, or is it just a little bit here and there? Or
I'd say it's really normal.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with who you hang out with.
Yeah.
I think they do talk about, you know, feelings and trauma. It's a lot less in boys, but
yeah, the girls.
I've still heard it around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trauma dumping is very normal these days, actually.
Trauma dumping? Is that what
yeah,
call
we
it?
Call it trauma dumping.
Like, that sounds very negative.
I know. It's not meant to be. It's just like, you know, you're dumping your trauma on someone.
I'm sure adults call it that too, or something yeah, similar, but...
Similar.
I know, similar.
It's, no, trauma dumping is just, I guess it's kind of perceived in a negative way, because it can be two different ways. It can be that someone, for example, Lucy just trauma dumped on me, you know, or, oh, hey, yeah, I just talked to Greg and we trauma dumped together, you know.
Okay.
So it's a very tone thing, you know.
Yeah.
You so it can be right used tone.
Both
it can
as
use,
a good and
yeah,
a bad thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So when it comes to living, you know, you're living in an environment where you basically experience a lot of trauma dumping. So because everything that I've experienced, I now realize that I've hurt my child because someone hurt me. So now I'm going to stop doing that. It doesn't work like that. I mean, I wish it did.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do, or what I can do, is work on myself, try to learn. I heard you sometimes say, you're sitting here watching these videos and nothing gets better. So what is it like living here when there's so much? So what I'm calling it is trauma-ing, so that the trauma itself isn't what happened to me. The trauma itself is what I'm experiencing every time I feel unsafe. And I can feel unsafe in what would seem like the most safe moments to everyone else. But that's just how my patterns have become.
Yeah.
So what's it like living here? When you were little, you said you felt... When you said you felt unsafe when you were little. Do you feel unsafe now?
This is a hard question. I think I pretty much feel unsafe all the time.
Yeah.
That feeling of unsafeness kind of grew on me when I was little.
It kind of established.
It has a place in me that it's really rooted in there, you know?
Is it like a core feeling of unsafety?
Because, you know, for example, at night, I'm laying in bed. I don't feel safe in my home. I don't feel safe in my bed. I don't feel safe anywhere. I think the only... I can't think of a single place I felt really safe, you know what I mean? It's, you know, you think about, oh my God, is someone going to come into my room and kill me? Yeah. Whether it comes from... you know, horror movies, or whether it comes from being afraid of, you know, being alone.
Do you feel ever unsafe here with me? I don't mean like thinking of aliens, but
no,
I mean with you and me together now.
Now, no. No. I think it's because I grew up being a little afraid of you.
Yeah.
And then I kind of... that... fear kind of dispersed, and now I don't know why, but you know, I used to be scared to annoy you, and now I think it's funny to annoy you. It has a lot to do with growing older and realizing that your anger isn't my fault, you know, it's about you.
Do you really, really understand that now, or do you sometimes still feel
fault? Certain situations, of course, you think it's your fault, you know, like it's in certain situations, you'd be like, oh my God, did I make her that mad? In other situations, I'd be like, that's funny, you know. Like at the store today, you know, when I'm trying to cozy on you and hold you by your arm, and you're like, get away from me. What are you doing? You know, I know that isn't about me.
Yeah.
But if I, you know, if I drop your toothbrush by accident and you've been sitting in here getting no work done, for example, you know, you've been sitting here annoyed and you get really mad at me for dropping the toothbrush, I'd be like, is that about me? Because I don't know that you've been... sitting here not being able to do anything, you know? That's when you don't know, you know? It's all... you just gotta know, in a way.
It seems like it's a lot of the little things that make me the most angry, because when big things happen... I can't remember a good example now, but sometimes there'll be big things that other parents will be really probably strict and mad about. But I get mad at stupid shit, you know, like little things, yeah. Which is very odd.
You know, for example, strict parents, you know, if they, I don't know if I can say this, but, you know, like a lot of teenagers, I've smoked a cigarette in my life or, you know, drank alcohol and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, they try stuff.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of strict parents, that's, those are big things, I guess.
Yeah.
For this very, and then with you, you were like, okay.
I think it also has to do with what kind of kid you have.
Yeah, if you, I think that in my, you know, area, you can trust me. You feel like you can trust me to make smart decisions because I'm smart. But I think those parents who don't really know their kids well enough, they get mad because they don't know what that kid's going to do.
But how can you know your kid if they don't know you? You know, that's what, yeah, that's, I think, is difficult. Yeah. If you don't share who you are, who you truly are with your kid, how is the kid going to learn how to share who they are? A kid's not going to do what you tell them to do. They're just going to do what you do. Isn't that right? Because heaven, isn't it, you get really mad when dad points out that, oh, you're just like your mom. Oh, that's just what your mom does. You're like, no.
No. I feel like I don't want to be controlling, you know what I mean? But God knows I'm controlling. Yeah. And it's just like, I think that you see all these qualities in other people, you're like, oh God, I don't want to do that, you know? But in reality, you know, maybe you do that, and you just don't notice it.
But maybe it's not a quality, and maybe it's not a personality thing. It's just a pattern, and you can always change a pattern if you find out the reason you have that pattern.
Yeah.
And when you come to the root of that, you don't have to, you learn how to self-regulate, basically. So I'm almost 50 years old, and that's what I've been learning these past few years, is how am I going to regulate my system when everything in my body screams, I'm not safe. You know, remember how we used to sleep in the same bed, and you told me I would wake up in the middle, and right after we fall asleep, and yeah, I would, couldn't whole, breathe.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I'd sit up in the bed, and I didn't remember it, but you told me the next day. I'd be like, what?
Yeah. And I didn't actually know. Very scary.
Yeah.
It's because I'd always wake up too, you know, I'd always be like, what?
Yeah. And I hadn't noticed, and I'd probably been doing that for years, but yeah, not really noticing what was going on. And I still do that sometimes, wake up. You know, my fear of waking up in another place than I fall asleep. Because when you think about it, it's pretty natural that I would be scared of that, because I did wake up sort of in another place, because I did wake up. I probably fell asleep sometimes before my dad came in the room, and then I woke up. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And I'm 50 years old, and that's the first time this connected to me. I was like, wait, what? Oh, that's why I'm afraid of that. So what I'm hoping with this is that you are going to be able to understand and link things better and quicker, so you can learn how to self-regulate. Because what's hard for me is to see you when you cannot regulate your own emotions. And not that I'm expecting you to always be like some perfect,
yeah,
you know, self-regulating, you know, version of a human, but
I thought you were going to say virgin.
Well, let's stick to virgin. But I just think that when I see you sometimes act the exact same way that I behave, and I want to turn around and tell you, like, what are you doing? Stop behaving like this ridiculous manner. And I'm like, oh my God, I just behaved like this maybe an hour ago. And when I see it in someone else that I love, I think it's, yeah, it feels disturbing, really horrible. Yeah. Because I know I didn't teach you anything else. You just learned to behave that way.
I mean, I see it too. I mean, you know, if we fight and I'm like, I go to the bathroom or something and I'm standing there really like, Jesus, what is wrong with me? You know, it's like, I don't want to do these things. I don't know why I'm doing these things, you know. I think that's every teenager, not every. I mean, I can't speak for every teenager.
Of course, you can only speak for yourself. But from all the things that I keep telling you over and over and over, so when you stand there in the mirror saying these things and you say, Jesus, why am I doing this? Can you remember what I've told you that I am hoping that you're going to learn to say to yourself in a moment like that?
No. I'm trying to think.
To be kind?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind always is, you know, you was kind, you was smart, you was important. Yeah, from that's, you know.
We love that.
Whenever I think of, you know, something negative and I try to, you know, if I'm sitting in a classroom and I don't feel included, you know.
Yeah.
I'll just sit there and I'll just, you know, think you was kind, you was smart, you was important. You know, just try to keep myself up to, you know, something at least, and then try to include myself, because, you know, sometimes you have to do that.
You always have yourself.
Yeah.
That's one thing that has comforted me the last few years, but I didn't think that way when I was 17, of course, but I always have myself. And to be self-compassionate is something I'm learning now, like just touching my face, touching my arms, standing in the mirror going, oh, I love you, Tanya, you're great. And I'll tell you, the first time I did these things, I felt so ridiculous that I can't. First time I had to speak to myself in therapy, I'd be like, so, hi, Tanya. Well, I felt so dumb. I felt like I was doing some stupid theater. And then it just came out. It started coming out, all these conversations. And it's not okay that this person has done this to you, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's maybe a little too early for you to start, or I don't even know when you're going to start doing that.
I don't know.
Or if you need it, but
I think I'm very lucky to have such a, you know, advanced, you know, have such advanced thoughts at this early age, you know. I think most, I mean,
or God, supporting already, thoughts is maybe better.
It's hard to, like, think about, you know, if we're, you know, we're talking to this other daughter and mother, and it's like, it's such a different duo. We have such a different duo than a lot of parents
have. You mean
have.
Dynamic?
Dynamic, yeah. Duo. Mm. I mean, yeah. We are a duo. That's exactly what it is. We're a duo when they're a, you know,
uno.
Mother, daughter. Yeah.
They're uno mother. To uno.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. I think we work together a lot easier than a lot of parents and kids do, because with a lot of kids and parents, it's a lot of yelling, it's a lot of ordering, it's a lot of... I mean, you know, from what I've seen with my friends and their parents, it's a lot different. It's a lot more that their parent and that their kid, you know, we're more like, I can't explain what we are because we're not friends. You know, I mean, in some aspects we're friends, but I don't know what we are. We're just, we work well, you know, we have a decent communication, and, you know, we don't really focus about, like, school, you know. A lot of parents are very, they think a lot about their child and education. They want,
like, result oriented.
Yeah, they want them to get far in life. They want them to do things that they were never able to do. But I think with us, it's a lot more. Of course, you have those feelings. I think, I don't know, I can't speak for you, but with us, it's a lot more. How do you feel? How does that make you feel? You know, it's very different.
What I'm hearing when you explain about certain, and I've observed too in other people's lives, is that, because don't get me wrong, you and I have a lot of fights. I mean, we scream and we yell and it's throwing and it's this, and it can be really loud in here, in this house. But what I think happens more often with us is that conversation afterwards, that we always
say, I'm sorry.
We always clean it up. Yeah. What is the word for that? We always reconcile.
Yeah.
Very soon. We never go to bed without, when we're
mad. Sometimes.
It's very rare.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's happened, of course. But, you know, we just make sure that we clean it up and go say, listen, I'm sorry. Sometimes we can laugh about it, both of us, and be like, that was ridiculous. Because we both realize how dumb that was. But sometimes we'll just have a really good conversation. And even from, you were very young, that whole thing where we had, you said, you have to say sorry, and I have to say sorry. And I know I had other people be like, that's not natural. That's not how people would do it in the real world. And I thought to myself, you know, that is true. Most people wouldn't have a situation where you say you're sorry and I say you're sorry. No matter who started and what happened, both have to say they're sorry. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that, you know, you were just a kid. And I thought, you're going to get older. You're going to grow out. You're going to see the world. You're going to meet people. You're going to know that that's not how everyone does it.
Yeah.
But you and I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just today when you were in the shower and I came and said, can you say you're sorry? And you said, why do I have to say I'm sorry? And both of us went, sorry. And it dissolves something and it redeems something and it repairs something.
Yeah.
Because it's a want and a wish to do better and to get closer.
Yeah. I think at least it takes some time for us to get to that I'm sorry part because we need a bit to cool off and whatnot, but yeah.
And we're different there, too.
Yeah.
Because I want to clean up right away.
And I need a minute to cool down because if I don't get a
and
minute,
I'm scratching at your door like, Mommy.
And I'm very annoyed. I'm like, just leave me alone.
I had a friend that said that to me, that I'm really grateful for that. And she said, let her cool off. Don't run after her right away. And I was like, you know what? That's so right. Because I can't run after you right away. I need to give you a little bit of space.
Yeah.
And also another advice that was so good was Robin already knows everything you think. You don't have to keep telling her your opinions because she already knows them. You know.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. It's been implanted in my brain since I was born.
So I don't have to keep regurgitating like, hey, Robin, you want to hear about intergenerational trauma again?
I've heard about it 3 times already. Come on.
Yeah. That could be a lot, because I get so excited, but...
Yeah. You know, how does it make you feel that, for right now at least, I'm one of the few you talk to about that sort of thing, you know?
I don't think that's correct for me, though.
No, I know. It's not very, you know, the correct thing, but I feel like you've been through a lot of in-and-out friendships, or, you know, a lot of ups and downs. And
Lately.
Yeah.
It's been very challenging.
In the past, 10 years, it's been a lot of friendships here and there. And, you know, they come in, they go strong. And
there's been a few that's disappeared that's very harsh. It's like, what in the world? And I'm ransacking myself. Like, what did I do? What did I say? What can I do better? And that's been taking a toll. And then I'm so grateful to have that, you know, that the lessons I've learned lately about, I have myself. I can be...
You have an inner voice, you know?
Yeah, but I can always be with myself.
Mm.
And if I can let go of my ego, then I can, you know, learn to move on and have a good, you know, just a good relationship with myself and whoever else I meet. But yeah, it's never easy to lose friends.
I mean, it shows that, you know... Teenage thoughts about, oh my god, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Like, why aren't we friends anymore? It shows that it kind of sticks.
Yeah.
That it's this whole thing, you know, friendships ending will always hurt, you know?
Yeah.
The end of something will always hurt.
Because you evolve, you know, and sometimes you just have to, you know, you never know what's going to happen. I never close doors that way because you never know what's going to happen in life, but you move on to something new. I think that's what you said, what's different with us. I don't know. It's kind of superior to sit and say, oh, it's something so different with us. But one thing that we do that I like is that we evolve. So our relationship constantly evolves.
Yeah.
And I think that's because I keep evolving, you keep evolving. But I think there are people that somehow stop checking in on themselves.
I love that. I love it. It sounds like, there's some people who stop evolving. That's what it sounds
really stop
like.
Stop evolving, but they stop asking those questions, you know? Like,
I guess also I'm a teenager, so I like to feel superior in that way. I'm like,
that's fine.
We're like better than that mother daughter are, you know?
I feel less superior than I've done in my entire life right now. It's like when I went to this retreat in just a few months back, somebody asked me, why are you here? I said, because I have everything I've ever wanted and I've never been so miserable in my whole life.
Jeez.
So, it's just, you never know where life's going to take you. And you think you want something and then you get it and you think there's going to fill some kind of hole in your soul and you realize it didn't. And some place you have to start digging in instead of kind of trying to fill your voids with outside stuff or material things or superficial things. Or it can be very easy to sit in a situation like we are and say, we are superior, we're better, or we are just people. I am just a person.
I think what's weird about us people is that we can have these kind of talks and then we can feel really smart and really like, for example, why am I not talking to this guy? I should just talk to him, you know? Like, I only live once, what's it gonna do? I'll feel rejected and then, you know, and then you get there and you get there and you're moments away and you're like, I can't do this, you know? we know we can back out of things so easily, you know? And it's so many things, it's so hard to, like, you know, word things and process things because you're like, one minute you're like, yeah, I'm great, you know, like, I can talk about this and I can do this and I'm living my life to the fullest. And then the next minute you're not talking to this guy because you're scared, you know. Who knows, it could be a life changer if you meet some guy or even just not even a guy, you know, like a friend, anything, you know, if you're too scared to talk to them, it's something about our... You know, we're like, oh, no, don't do that, you know?
What do you think that fear is about?
It's about rejection.
Yeah.
It's the fear of rejection.
It's probably different for everyone, but for you, it's rejection. For me, too.
I mean, everywhere. I mean, especially, you know, you see it on TikTok, for example, that, you know, people are like, oh, you know, here's me getting over my fear of rejection, you know, getting rejected 100 times with this goal, for example, you know what I mean? Because people, they want to, you know... It shows people want to get over this fear, and it's actually pretty cool, you know. It shows that people want to, you know, change and get out of, you know, break out of their usual norms and not and feel patterns. So hurt, you know, when someone says no, which is, you know, a very nice word to have, you know. Be like, oh, no, I don't think so, but thanks, you know.
Yeah.
It's very hard to... be told no.
Yeah.
You learned that from a very young age.
You were so told no a lot.
Yeah, but who wasn't?
But I think I always thought that I had to be strict. And I still remember that. I've been telling this story before, but one of those life-changing moments where I'd been at work, I picked up the dog, I went to the store, and I picked up the at kindergarten or daycare, and you were having, you know, your big winter suit on, and I was on the top of the hill and my hip had locked for the umpteenth time, you know, and I was standing there with the dog and the groceries, and you were down the hill screaming like rah, rah. And the dog, I dropped his leash, and then I was so angry, and then I remembered my therapist in that moment.
Yeah.
First time it came to me, let go, just let go. And I dropped the bags and I turned to you and I said, Robin, or Taylor, as it called you then, tonight we're going to have popcorn and ice cream for dinner. And you were like mid-scream, like, ah. And I picked up my bags, and this sounds silly, but it was just because all those rules that we have to do this and you have to have a nutritional dinner every day, blah, all these things I had to go through every day. And then I started walking and I realized my hip wasn't hurting and I got mad. It's like, what? This can't be true. It's not magic. And I was like, I couldn't understand that that's really how you really let go of tension in your body and you can, you know, really fix really painful things. Or accept painful things.
Yeah.
It's just the weirdest experience I've ever had, so.
It's actually, I mean, this is a very interesting story. Like, I like hearing about it. But I think the one thing I thought about during this whole story was that you let go of the dog's leash. Where'd the dog go? That's the one thing I thought of. It was like I got everything. And I was like, that's actually really interesting, you know.
To guess have that cord of where he went to. To you.
Oh, to me?
Yeah.
Why? It sounded like I was having so much fun. He was like, woo!
Yeah. So when you get a little older, because I know having these kind of conversations that other people can listen to can... I've heard concerns. A lot of people say, oh, that's so great. But concerns are that when you get older, you might regret it. And how could I put you in a position where you... talked about yourself and you didn't know the consequences. Of course, you still don't, and I don't either. But for now, this is what we have talked about that we wanted to do. So what do you think? Do you think that it's different today in the society, that people don't really care that much? Do you think you'll worry? What do you think right now?
I think, who cares? What do I care? You know, if people are listening to this and they judge me later on, and then, you know, I get all this hate for this, in reality, it doesn't matter. Living this life, this pretty great life, it's so hard to formulate a sentence that I'm trying to get, like, the right meaning out, because if I say, oh, who cares, you know, that just sounds not right, in my opinion, you know? Like, my honest opinion right now is, who cares? I don't care. You know, if you don't like what I have to say, that's fine. You know, this is my opinion, and I have a right to my own opinion, and if you want to judge me for that, that's fine.
That's your right.
Yeah, that's your right, and it's like, I could not give less of a bleep.
A bleep, actually? Yes. Wow. That's very mature. Wow.
It's because, you know, I think, you know, things like that make me very mad. People love to just go in and pick at something. They love to just, you know, I think people are very, they're set on their own opinions, and they love to make their opinions, you know, formulate their opinions out towards other people, which is totally fine. But I think we have a very negative way of doing that, you know, just like how I did that. Now I was hating on people just for having opinions, but it's just like me, you know. It's just what I'm doing now. It's this whole, you know, I'm realizing what I'm doing now too. But I think it's,
you know, how come you think people do that?
I think that, I don't know, I feel like people probably don't get their own meanings out. No, you know, they don't get to say what they want to say, so when I say something I mean, it's natural to have a comeback. Be like, well, I don't believe it, you know? And that's fine. That's okay. You
hit the nail on the head. People who have never been heard or never been seen.
Yeah.
That's what internet has become for many people, social media, where you can sit behind your screen and feel like you're seen.
I mean,
but you're not really seen.
Yeah. I mean, I sit on TikTok, and, you know, every once in a while, I, you know, see this TikTok video that is so sexist or something, you know, about men. It's like what an AI-generated world would look like without men. And all these men are like, yeah, they wouldn't last a day without us. We do everything. And it's like, well, you just shush, you know, we need each other. Shush. It's just the whole thing about what we're fighting for is equality. You have your opinion already. I can't change that.
No.
You're so set on thinking that you are so much better than everyone in this world, because it's hard to change someone's opinion. It's hurtful. It hurts people when you try to say something that they don't believe, and then you realize, you're like, wait, maybe that's right, you know? And then it's, you don't want to admit that, because admitting that you're wrong is embarrassing. It's hard.
Yeah, there's this saying that I'm reminded of when you say these things, that says, correction or connection before correction. So people don't respond well, even kids don't respond, like, according, like, if you think about discipline, they respond better to a connecting or a connection than
a correction.
It doesn't mean you can't, you know, get kids that, you know, go, I want you to do your chores, all these things, but first have a connection with someone.
And that is very hard.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And I wonder, so what we're talking about now, what do you think that someone can do to get a better connection? Because what I'm gathering from what you're saying is that you and I have a pretty good connection.
Yeah.
So how can someone get a better connection with their kid?
With their kid?
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about this last time?
Teenager, but it's interesting to hear how you think about that now.
You know, I guess, like everyone says, communication is key. You have to start by, you know, you want to say, ask their child about their day, but no teenager likes it. I don't know why, but no teenager really enjoys it when a parent is like, hey, how was your day? It's, I don't want to talk to you.
Is it too generic?
No, it's just too much. You know, it's too, you're communicating with them right after they're coming. From my perspective, this is from my perspective.
Okay.
You ask me how my day was when I came home. I don't want to talk to anyone when I get home, you know? Yeah. I just want to go on my bed and do nothing for the next 24 hours, you know what I mean? Like, I'm exhausted. I've been socializing all day. I'm tired. But this is different for every kid, you know what I mean? Another kid could be like, oh, I want you to ask this. It's, yeah. It's, you just gotta know your kid, you know? And that's very hard.
So be more sensitive to that specific kids.
Just be open. Notice your children. Notice what they like. Notice what they do, you know? If you take notice, that example, you know, I get, you know, I'm very spoiled. I get these Tuesday surprises, you know, and they're not always something, you know, crazy. Maybe it'll just be an energy drink or,
I don't know.
I don't know. It like could be anything. You know, anything. You know.
Something small. Because when I was little, my mom gave me a chocolate and a magazine every Tuesday. And I never forgot that. That was like one of the few things in my childhood that was good that I felt was like a safe thing. So I wanted to do that for you.
And it's nice. You know, Tuesdays are my longest and hardest days of school. And I come home and I'm like, oh, nice. You know, like, that's Tuesday. I got a makeup brush and new pants, you know. Yeah, it varies. That was a big surprise that day. Yeah. And it just varies a lot, you know. It's just those things when someone notices and you get something and you're like, wow, someone took an effort to see, you know, they took an effort and saw that I like this thing and they got it for me, you know, it doesn't even have to be a thing. It can just be an act, you know, an act of kindness, anything, you know, just that you notice, you know, like, you know, my friend sends me a TikTok, you know, this trend. It's like, oh, you're pretty like this or you're pretty like that. You know, one of my friends sent me this TikTok, like, you're pretty like the Tangled flower. I love the Tangled movie, you know, movie Tangled by, you know, Rapunzel and stuff.
Yeah.
And it feels always so nice because now you feel like that person knows you in a way.
Yeah.
If you feel like a person knows you, you feel like they can, then communication comes easier. Communication comes easier. Connection comes easier. This is just, you know, my opinion.
Yeah, so you're thinking that just communicating gets a better connection instead of just like ordering and telling, do your homework, clean your room, go to bed, do this, do that.
Yeah, but I think that's the second step of it all. The first step is just to look at them, see them, you know.
Yeah.
Hear what they have to say when they speak, you know. And one big thing is interruption is very annoying.
You say teenagers. That very often.
Yes.
What do you mean I interrupt you? What?
I hate being interrupted. I think it's the worst thing ever. I just get irritated and then I want to like stop talking.
Yeah.
It's noticing things and feeling seen. That is such a big deal. And then it's communicating and then connection, in my opinion.
So last time when we were communicating and I told you about what happened to me, how do you look at that now? Was that too much communication or was that okay for you?
It was, I don't know. I have all these back and forth opinions about that you told me in a podcast, you know, it was a little weird. And
but
it was fine.
I have to remind you that just that I wasn't planning
on course airing not. I don't
it
know
unless
that.
You knew about it, but still you're too young to make the decision. Yeah. So yeah, I hear
but
you.
It was just like, I think that's the whole aspect of it, was like, if you told me any other way, it would have been probably weird. Like, not weird, but I don't know how to explain it. It would have been different. And
yeah.
I guess in the way that I was told, it was okay, you know?
Remember that video we found?
Yeah.
When I was, you're like, why did you film this? Like, because you were Googling me. This was before the first podcast. You were like 13 years old.
Yeah.
And I was like, now you're going to see it. You're going to read about me in the newspaper. You're going to find out what happened to me. And you didn't. You were just like, Mommy, you're in the newspaper. I'm like, yeah. You didn't read any of the text.
No,
you just looked
at
the
I went
picture.
Straight to photos.
I know.
A lot of teenagers do that.
So
a lot of teenagers.
For you
a lot of teenagers, they don't care about the text. They go like, you know, if I search up my mother's name, I won't look at all the websites with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you feel about it now? You say you jump back and forth a lot. So before you fall asleep, do you want to tell me how you feel about that?
It's very complicated to think about because it's a lot. It's a lot to think about, you know.
But do you ever think about it?
Yeah. all the time.
Really?
It's a very weird thing because, you know...
Because we don't talk about
We don't talk about it very often, but sometimes I'll think about it randomly. And, of course, when you think about things, you imagine things, and you're like, oh, God, you know.
But you get maybe reminded if there's a joke or something on TV or
an article. Even when I'm laying in my own room.
Yeah, which was my room.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
That's, you know, I wish you hadn't said that, honestly, because now I think about it sometimes when I'm laying in that room.
Yeah.
I feel like for you, it's become such a natural topic because it's what you're working with, you know?
Yeah.
With this, you know, how do I feel about it? I feel like it was a lot. I think about it sometimes, but I'm very glad he's dead.
Yeah. It would be very strange to have to deal with him, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It would be...
Or he would be around here. It's like,
yeah, Dad wouldn't even let me be around him.
No, I wouldn't let you be around him either.
No, it's just something... It's there, you know? It's there and it's complicated and... It's not about me, you know? It's not... It's about you, you know? I think that it's very complicated to talk about. It's very... Yeah, I can't even formulate the words for it. It's just complicated. It's a complicated thought, a complicated... emotion, a complicated thing in itself. It's very sad. It's very, you know.
Do you really feel like it's sad? Like, because I don't feel like I talk about it
angry.
As sad.
I get angry when I think about it. I get sad, you know, thinking about, you know, you. I'm like, can't see animals die in movies. I'm very, like, I have a very strong heart for those kind of things. People, animals, anything getting hurt.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, you know, it's not... It's
well, not we both me. Weep a lot when we watch certain things.
Yeah.
Like, it was funny when my mom was down here, and both of us started crying at the
watching
end of a movie.
The Help.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Not because she was disturbed. She just thought it was funny. She left. Yeah. She's like, I don't have any tears left.
Yeah, she also
I am glad that my mom's always happy now. So it's much better than... seeing her cry every day, so
yeah,
I'll take that any day. Now it's our turn to cry when we watch sad movies. But what I'm hearing is that you're saying it's complicated. It's not like something you can formulate in one sentence. It's emotions and thoughts and
yeah. It's because it's such a big deal, you know.
Do you feel like it's a big deal in our life, or is more like when you think about it, it feels like a big deal?
That's such a hard thing to say because it's both. I think it's such a big deal in our life because it's your work, in a way. You know, you work a lot with this whole pedophile, you know, thing, and it's...
My whole project.
Yeah, the project, and it's
learning and understanding what's happened and
how
to prevent it from happening to others. But I guess I'm a little surprised, which is very weird, but to me it's so natural, it's so everyday. So I shouldn't be surprised hearing that you say it's such a big deal and it's such a big part of our lives, because to me it's like, what? When do I ever talk about it? And you're like, well, every day?
Yeah.
It's like, what? To me, it's like meat and potatoes, which is very odd.
I mean, it's not as of a big deal for me as it is to you, I think. But it is a big deal. It's in its totality in our lives, you know?
Yeah. Robin is about to fall asleep.
I'm very exhausted. It is 1 in the morning. We've been sitting here for over an hour,
actually. Thank you for talking. I really appreciate it.
It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like I got to talk about some things. It's very, like, you know, philosophy classes were like this. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a lot more fun if you could do podcasts for your philosophy class and not write an essay about this, you know.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I think it's much more fun to talk or make a video or an audio thing than to type.
Yeah.
ChatGPT is my new friend.
I love that it's your friend. It's so funny.
Yeah, because I'm not that good at formulating. You know how I type and every other word is misspelled?
Oh, I know.
But that's just because I'm impatient, so. But thank you, and you're going to go to sleep, and we'll talk again in 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Or one, or not. Who knows?
I think, you know, I'm here when you need me to talk, just...
Yeah. And if you have something you want to say, I'm here.
Thank you.
Same good night. You.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Spirals. With any questions or comments, use spirals@unicornvoice.com. And stay tuned to listen to some of my original songs or weird demos.